Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton here with more inspirational stories of caring Christians around the world. And Juliana Smoke gets us rolling with a glimpse at this week's stories.
Thanks, Rod. We're going to hear from a mom who is impacting her sphere of influence by leading a Bible study for her son's friends.
I'm John Graham, and he's a political activist and Georgia Baptist pastor. And effective last Tuesday, Congressman Jody Heiss joins us on the Culture Connection.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we'll meet a missionary who followed God's call to go to a very tough place in the inner city to share the love of Jesus Christ.
I'm Myrna Brown. She calls them the three P's, passion, purpose, and power. How this new artist is using all of them in her music, coming up.
Also today, helping Nairobi Street Boys through international missions on our Missionary Moment. So stay where you are for this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. What started as a summer Bible study in a basement has taken on a life of its own. And Juliana Smoke is here with a story on Life with Purpose Radio.
Stephanie Copenhaver from Northside Baptist Church in Roswell, Georgia, is a busy mother to four teenage children. And she's allowing the Lord to use her everyday life of being a mom to share the gospel by leading a weekly summer Bible study for her son's friends in her basement. Stephanie Copenhaver joins us today on Life with Purpose Radio. Hello.
Hi.
This is great how you have intentionally found a way to share Christ with those you cross paths with day in and day out. How did the Bible study get started?
Well, I didn't grow up in church. We were the type of family that went, you know, at Easter and Christmas. So when I became a believer as an adult, I have just had it in my heart that it is so important to know God and do life with God on an everyday basis. So I started asking a couple of friends if they would make a commitment with me to work with my youngest son and just start a summer Bible study.
And the teenagers who attend are all boys?
They are all boys, and we started summer going into fifth grade and, you know, just neighborhood friends. It was me and two other moms, and we just told each of our boys to invite a friend or two.
Right, and how many boys attend?
Well, the first week, I think we started out with 8 or 10, and the second week, I think we had 15 or 20, and by the end of the first summer, we had 35. We are now 3 years later, we have 60-plus boys.
Wow, nearly 60 boys. And out of that number, how many would you say are unchurched?
The majority of them. I would say probably 90%.
That's amazing. Do you find that they are hungry for God's word?
We have been blown away, I think, every time that we have had our gatherings, because they are super focused. They're very hungry, very interested. Every single time that we have done this, we stick to the basics. So we are teaching about the Ten Commandments. We are teaching about just who Jesus is, what miracles he's done, you know, what he's done for us. You know, trying to tell the kids who have never been to church who God is, who Jesus is, and how much he loves us and what he's done for us.
And these boys, when they hear about the truths of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross, I am sure it is impacting their lives.
We hear great things from parents, you know, when we're sitting in the football stands, that kids are talking about this at dinner time, that they're wanting to go to church. They're asking their parents that they would like to get plugged into a church. We have one boy that started going to a church and wanted to be baptized. We're seeing lives changed and impacted and kids being hungry and wanting more.
Wow. Wow. And this started as a summer study, but it's grown to be much bigger than that.
Yes, we started every Wednesday in July from 10 to 12 in the morning. And then when school started, we wanted to kind of do life together and kind of keep the group going. So we would do a father-son breakfast up at the elementary school. We do a back-to-school evening on a Friday night where all the kids bring their favorite food and just have a quick little lesson. And then everybody shares their food. Last spring, when the God's Not Dead movie opened up, we took 65 boys to the God's Not Dead movie, and the kids were amazing. They loved it. It's just got a life of its own now. They're just wanting to do stuff all the time.
Wow. You know, Stephanie, what would you say to someone who is listening right now about how the Lord is using you and your family in the lives of these young boys, and they might be thinking they could never do something like this, that they don't have the seminary degree, the training, or possibly the courage?
Well, I think I felt like that before, too, but eternity is a big deal, and we are counting on this younger generation to know who God is and know what the purpose is for our lives, and that is to be fishers of men and go out and tell the world about the gospel. I do love Jesus. I love what he's done in my life, and I want to be dedicated to the kingdom. So I would say to have the courage to do it. We said from the very beginning, if we just had our three boys and they invited, you know, one or two friends and it ended up being five or six kids, we were good with that. But God shows up way bigger and does way more than we can ever imagine.
Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today and reminding us to be available and willing to be used by the Lord in our everyday.
Absolutely. I'm glad to do it.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
When the need is overwhelming, many tune it out. Around the world, there are men, women, and children who are starving because of war, drought, corruption, poverty, and natural disasters. This is where the body of Christ should be, bringing relief and the gospel to the hurting. Make a direct impact right now. Visit worldhungerfund.com. 100% of your donations go directly to feeding the hungry. worldhungerfund.com, an outreach of the Southern Baptist Convention.
Thank you for listening and being a friend to Life with Purpose Radio. The recent elections have made changes in several ways. John Graham gets a perspective from a senator preacher in Washington on today's Culture Connection.
Georgia's 10th District has a new congressman, and he's a pastor. Jody Heiss is with us today. Congressman Heiss, welcome to the program.
Thank you, John. Great to be on with you.
You've been a Georgia Baptist pastor for years. What made you run for office?
While pastoring at First Baptist Church in Bethlehem, Georgia, the ACLU came after our county, Barrow County, over a copy of the Ten Commandments in the courthouse. Really, as a pastor, I took a stand for our church members and for the Ten Commandments. That was the beginning of a light coming on inside of me saying, we have got to get the Christian community engaged.
As a pastor, what was the campaign process like? I imagine it was grueling.
Oh, it's brutal, physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's enormous work involved. It's very difficult, and then you add to that all the attacks that come from opponents and people, in this case, on the left. It's a very, very difficult process, and we are just extremely grateful that the people of Georgia's 10th District has entrusted us with this and that we've come through it, and now we're excited to take, in many regards, the values that we all have to Washington and stand for those issues.
What do you hope to bring that, you know, is uniquely Jody Heiss to that office?
Really, we have heard throughout the district a number of people who are extremely concerned with, personal issues, economic issues, everything from the Obamacare regulations and taxes, the need for balanced budget amendment. All those types of things are heavy on the hearts of people all throughout the 10th District and beyond. But also, you know, there's a great deal of concern with losing our religious liberties, the attacks that are increasing against people of faith in America is a heavy concern. And, of course, we've been on the front line of that battle for a long, long time. So all these issues are extremely important, and we're looking forward to standing strong and helping restore and renew America to the values that made it great.
On a personal level, I have these images of politicians that get up to Washington, D.C., and their personal goals, their personal convictions even, run just roughshod into a really, really dark system.
You're exactly right. The environment can be very difficult to honor God, quite frankly,
yeah,
and to walk with Him. And, you know, I just don't believe that anything in our lives are accidental. And I can just tell you, you don't go up against organizations like the ACLU and the IRS without facing a great deal of harassment, intimidation, threats, all those type of things. And my wife and I have been through it. We have been through that crucible of testing. And although we wanted to at times, we didn't cave. And I just look back now and I believe those experiences have prepared us to stand up to the pressures in Washington and not cave or compromise our Christian values and those things that we are being entrusted to represent.
As a believer that is engaged in politics, what is your message to the Christian community?
We've got to get involved. We've got to get engaged. And I think Christians have two primary pillars upon which they can make that determination. First and foremost, of course, is Scripture. We are called to be salt and light regardless of the country or the political environment in which we live. We are called to be salt and light at all times. But secondly, for Christians here in America, we have another pillar, and that is the fact, John, that our system of government here does not work without involvement from the people.
Mm.
And so we have a scenario here that we have a biblical mandate to be salt and light, but we are also blessed to be in an environment that does not work without our involvement. And our system here in America calls people to be involved, and it doesn't work unless we step up to the plate. And I believe we're largely in the mess we're in today because so many Christians have self-censored themselves, if you will, right out of any degree of significant involvement. And I'm looking forward to being a part of a coalition of those individuals who will be able, hopefully, to create a tipping point in our country to help return us to those Judeo-Christian values that have made America so awesome.
We commit to pray for you, Jody, and all of those like you that are bringing light to the darkness. So thank you again.
Thank you.
Until next time, this is John Graham bringing you The Culture Connection.
Each week on Life with Purpose Radio, we bring you stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. Our hope is that as you listen, they inspire you to live your life with purpose. And always, we want to hear from you, your feedback, and you can email us at stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. That's stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. We'd love to hear your story suggestions, or maybe you have a question about today's program or a past program. Whatever it is, let us know, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. Also, you can follow us on Twitter at LWP Radio and Facebook/LWP Radio as well. That's LWP Radio for both Facebook and Twitter. And we'd like to give you a free book just for being a listener to Life with Purpose Radio. It's a hardback edition of Words of Life, a devotional book from Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. And it's absolutely free. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. That's lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. And we'll send it to you absolutely free. All right, let's continue with our stories and Myrna Brown.
Thanks, Rod. She calls them the three P's, passion, purpose, and power. How this new artist is using all of them in her music.
Okay, thanks. Also ahead, how the attempted robbery of a woman by homeless street boys helped her to see the boys as God sees them, and how international missions are helping on our missionary moments. But right now, it's over to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for our story of A Church for the Bluffs.
Thanks, Rod. As we think of Jesus' ministry while on earth, he reached out to all kinds of folks, the poor, the rich, the tax collectors, the adulterous woman. He wanted everyone to experience God's love. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a missionary in the inner city who is willing to go to a tough place to reach people with the good news of Christ. Let's listen.
I'm so happy to be on the phone today with one of our dynamic church planters of the Georgia Baptist Convention. He's starting a new church, Gospel Fellowship, in one of the tough places in Atlanta, Georgia, to serve. Winston Taylor, thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White, for inviting us.
Listen, Winston, you and I have spent some significant time together on the west side of Atlanta, a place they call The Bluff, where we looked at the location where you're starting a new church. This used to be a pretty affluent neighborhood, but I must say that this time it's an area of Atlanta that needs a lot of attention, a lot of physical renewal. But more importantly, there's a need for an outpouring of God and spiritual renewal, something that only God can bring about. Would you tell our listeners a little bit about your background and how God brought you to this place at this time?
Well, I'm a native Atlantian, and I grew up in the old Fourth Ward in a time where it was considered one of the last ghettos of Atlanta. While there, God grew me and developed me and kept me safe. I went to school of architecture up at Syracuse University, where I really got involved in community development and did some work all over the country and then came back here to Atlanta, started doing community development in the old Fourth Ward. But while doing that community development, God really spoke to me about going over into the English Avenue community, that I was uniquely designed and purposed for that community in the sense that I understood them as well as I understood myself.
Yeah. You know, from an engineer and architect trained at Syracuse University to a church planter in a tough part of the inner city, could you tell us how God is leading you specifically to reach out to the people in this area?
Well, when we look at building buildings, we have an old building over there, St. Mark. God showed me what building buildings is very similar to building men and people. It takes time, it takes devotion, and it takes a true love. Many of us have tried to renovate our own homes, and it has caused divorces and everything else due to the amount of time it takes. It takes a dedication to redevelop and remerge people, as well as it does in physical buildings. And so with that same patience that it takes and that same vigor and sacrificing that it takes us to renovate buildings and our homes, it takes that same dedication and love and sacrifice to renovate and disciple people.
It surely does, and I appreciate so much your dedication to doing that. And I wondered if you might just paint a picture of this area. I know it's a tough area of the city. You're doing a great ministry there. Would you help our listeners understand the area even a little bit better?
Yes, sir. This is a neighborhood that is west of the Dome, the English Avenue, a.k.a. the Bluff, that is gang-infested, drug-infested, heroin especially. Addiction, sex trafficking is probably the number one community in the Southeast for heroin. Kids come from Tennessee, they come from Woodstock, they come from Alabama, they come from all over buying drugs. And most of all, it's a place where people die, you know. Notice I did not say a person, but people. People die there daily.
Well, I want to thank you for stepping into that area and being a minister for Christ. I know that I was impacted with the area when I was riding with you, and I sure was glad I was riding with you. I felt protected being with you, but it's a tough part of the city.
Yes, sir.
I was really impressed with the way you and I were riding through the area, how you're relating personally to the folks who live in that area. I don't know many people who could relate to them as you do, Winston. You're doing a great work for God there. And I know you've already seen the Lord at work. And I wondered if you could share a specific story maybe of a person or a family where God has brought about some real change.
One of the guys there, a good friend of mine, said that back in 1995 when I went over to that community, was one of the main drug dealers there. And since then, Steve has been in the prison and different other things have happened. His wife has passed. And over that time period, he and I had a shared life where we actually shared life while I was doing the demo of the building. And we established a relationship that allows Steve now to be in Christ and now walking in Christ and to be able to demonstrate his life to others over in the community.
Oh, that's wonderful. I think I met him that day I was over in that area.
Yes, you did. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You no doubt are in need of lots of support. How can we pray for you, and how can we support you as you invest your life to plant this new church?
Not just me, but I pray, and as Christ said, pray ye that the Father send laborers into the vineyard, is that, you know, God would just continue to send laborers into his vineyard to partner with us, to work with us, and to continue to plant seeds of hope, continue to plant the seed of Christ, that that word would just continue to make in the hearts of the men and women that they would meet and that we would meet, and that people would continue to disciple. As Paul says, one plants, another one waters, but God gives the increase. And
that's
so
right.
Knowing how the church moved, just a little history out of the church, black and white moved out of the city back in the 60s and 70s, there's a real need for the church to participate and partner with the work that's going on in the reestablishing of Christ in our cities and our communities.
Winston, thank you for what you're doing and for allowing God to work through you to make a difference in the inner city. I've been talking with a good friend, Winston Taylor, a Georgia Baptist and North American missionary who's called to start a new church in the inner city of Atlanta. Winston, I want you to know that we're praying for you and the people who live in the Bluff. Thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White, for inviting us.
For more information on church planting in cities like Atlanta, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Now, Myrna Brown introduces us to the music and ministry of Cherie on Life with Purpose Radio.
She's known simply as Cherie, a new artist who says her music and ministry is all about the three P's: inspiring young people to live passionately, purposefully, and powerfully for God in today's society. Whoo, that's a mouthful. Welcome, Sheree. Welcome to Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you. I'm glad to be able to share today and to inspire.
We're glad to have you. And I refer to the three P's. You're really packing a lot of punch, if you will, for the Lord. You have a clear vision of your purpose, and that comes from your past and some heartbreak in your past. Tell us about some of that.
You know, I grew up in a dysfunctional home and struggled at a very early age with identity issues. I'm white and black. My mom is a Caucasian and my dad is African American. I remember just going to school, and it was probably around fourth or fifth grade, people realized that I was different. I think before then it wasn't a big deal, but I distinctly remember the day when my mom came to pick me up and they're like, your mom is white. And that was like the first time I had even thought about it. And so from that point, people started to see me differently. At home, my parents were having so much issues with their marriage. So trying to solve what's going on in your little heart at that age was very difficult, because they were very distant and very consumed with their own dysfunction in their own relationship at the time. Now that I'm older, I really go back and reflect on what really was the confusing parts of my childhood in my adolescent years. Mm-hmm. And I've tried to address that in all my concerts and try to make it as clear as possible to reach other young people who might be in very similar situations. For me, I didn't deal with it in a negative way, thank God, because my parents actually were introduced to the Lord when I was around basically in kindergarten and preschool. They started being ministered to. A little African-American lady and her husband took us under their wing and said, we're going to be your godparents. And she basically started mentoring me and my siblings and my parents. She taught me how to be a woman of God, taught me who God was, taught me how to make good choices. Although with that, some of my other siblings didn't latch on to God and to mentors. And they've ended up in bad situations. And one of them actually has ended up getting addicted to drugs and alcohol, and we suffered a loss of my sister Kalisha Marie Dennings when she was only 21 to a drug overdose. Basically, I do a lot of what I do in honor of her too, and just believing that no one's meant to die such a tragic death like that, that God has a plan and a purpose for us all. Jeremiah 10:11 says, but prosper us and not to harm us. Plans to give us a future and a hope. But I really know that people do struggle with the broken pieces of their lives, and the enemy is coming to steal, kill, and destroy. And we have a choice to go his way or to latch onto the anchor that God throws out to us in his promises of truth and love.
I'm just listening to you, and I know that right now you are at a conference for millennials, so you are in that generation. And I'm thinking, this young lady is wise so beyond her years. And then you talked about the struggles, the sister dying due to substance abuse, and you could have wallowed in those hard times, but yet you want to use your experiences to minister to hurting teens and young women. So I like your heart for missions is what I'm hearing, and you reflect that in your music.
Writing and singing was basically my escape and my refuge. So when my parents were fighting or I felt alone and I felt like I couldn't connect with my parents, if I could come home and listen to my favorite singer or favorite song, that was medicine to me.
I want to talk about this music video, One Girl Can Change the World. There's a message there. Be the change that you want to see. Don't be afraid to be the change. He's starting inside of you. Now let it shine through, Be the change. Live like you're made to be the change.
So we can go back to my three P's that we talked about in the beginning. The first one is passion. If you look in the Latin, the word for passion is passio, which means to suffer. That's why it's the suffering of Christ, you know, the passion of Christ. And if you can let God, you know, take those broken pieces of your life, take those heartbreaks and steps back and let him take them in his hand and make something beautiful, then you usually end up finding your purpose, which is the second piece. And your purpose usually is that thing in the world that you feel like you're called to change, that thing that you can't stand that happens in this world, like you just feel drawn to it. And it usually goes back to your passion story, what you've been through. Once you find your purpose, you have to have something pretty extraordinary to live it out, right? Because if changing the world was easy, then we'd all do it. Well, that's where power comes in. That's the third piece.
So, Cherie, it has been such a pleasure talking with you.
You too. Blessings.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's Missionary Moment takes us to Nairobi, Kenya, in Africa, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
I was with my friend and her brother, and we were walking up the Nairobi River, and two street boys, came from down the river up that way. They tried to snatch my bag, and my friend's brother turned, and what he wanted to do is to hit this boy and throw them into the river, and I was screaming and saying, stop! But that sent me thinking, if maybe those boys had some food, if maybe they had someone to love and care for them, maybe they lost parents. In most cases, maybe they lost a mother. His mother was struggling to feed them. And so he thought, I am the old one, and if I leave home, maybe there'll just be some extra food. And they thought, they need to get away. The boys sleep just at the riverbank. They light a fire using some tiles. That is what keeps them warm. I think we've done enough talking, we've done enough of criticizing them, we've done enough of hating them, and done enough of rejecting them, but now it's time to act. They need food, they need clothing, they need shoes, they need a shelter. We share Bible stories, we encourage them using the Bible, develop a love relationship with them. God sees them as people of worth. He sees beyond their dirt. They are dirty to look at them, but God sees beyond their clothing, their dirty clothes. God sees beyond the drugs they are taking, beyond all this glue that they are taking. I've met with them down the street, and everyone will be like, what are you doing with them? But I am not ashamed to be associated with them. I am not ashamed to be their friend. I am not ashamed to just sit in the dirt. I'm not ashamed to get dirty. I don't care what people say, because I believe as a body of Christ, we've had the gospel. We need to be doers of the word and just hearers of the word.
For more information about international and North American missionaries, go to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope today's stories have inspired you to live life with purpose. As you heard about Busy Mom's Bible Study, Jody Heist in Washington, church planner Winston Taylor, Christian singer Cherie, and international missions in Nairobi, Kenya. Please be with us next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose, and visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and Agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.